First reading is taken from Genesis chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastwards, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Turning then to Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, "Abba, Father." The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears in our native language? Corinthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Pyrrha and Perea, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both women and men, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Let us pray together. Father God, thank you for your word to us. And as we come to reflect upon it this evening, grant us the help of your Spirit in our understanding. And may we respond to it accordingly through Christ our Lord. Amen. I always find it interesting in the life of the church that, you know, we do well and we make a big deal of Christmas and Easter. When it comes around to Pentecost, it almost goes by without much of a notice often. Ever since I was a child growing up, we always did birthdays in a big day. It was your special day and you got to choose what we're going to do that day, and we still do it with our kids. We pass that on. Birthdays are special occasions as you get older, so I'm told. People don't like to think of birthdays too much. But birthdays are birthdays are a big deal, and the Pentecost is the church's birthday. So happy birthday to us all. We don't have streamers or cake or anything like that, unfortunately, to go with this. But anyway, in the second chapter of Acts that we've just had read for us by Catherine, we read about the beginning of the church. It's interesting that some of the people who were passing by reached the conclusions that the apostles must have been drunk, because it tells us something about the spirit of excitement and joy that prevailed on that day. There's a story about a little boy who was at church with his mother, and he was a good little boy, and he was quiet and well behaved, and he didn't cause any problems at all. But every once in a while he would stand up in the pew, turn around and smile at everybody behind him, and his smile was just infectious. And soon everybody behind him started to smile back at him too. And it was all going fine until the mother realized what the little boy was doing. And when she did, she grabbed him by the ear, twisted it a bit, told him to sit down and remember that he was in church. Then he started sniffling and crying. And she turned to him and said, "That's better." At what point was it told to us that the church is a place to be gloomy? The first Christians were filled with joy, and it was the Holy Spirit who brings that joy into our hearts. I mean, isn't it wonderful at the moment for us in Sydenham when we see so many children around? That is a blessing to us. I hope, you know, we can deal with the disruption anytime kids get cranky. It doesn't bother me, and I hope it doesn't bother you, because it's wonderful to have the whole family of God together. So let's ask the question this evening: what is Pentecost all about? The first thing we need to say is that the church was created by God. It's an obvious thing to say, but it needs to be said. When there is new birth, there is time for joy and celebration. From the very beginning of time itself, God had the church in mind. He had everything planned out. He had the church in mind. Sometimes we act as if, you know, Simon Peter called the apostles together and decided, "Now we're going to gather today to talk about whether or not we ought to start a church." And the discussion goes for a little while. Then James make a recommendation and they start a church on a motion carried 10 votes to 2. You know, that's not how it worked. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, verse 2. It was God who started the church. We must never, ever forget that this is the church of Jesus Christ. It is God's church, not our church. And yet God forbid us, or forgive us, because sometimes we act as if it is our church. The second thing that we need to say about Pentecost is that the church was created for communication. And Pentecost is really all about communication. In Genesis 11, we read of the arrogance of the people that led the Lord to confuse their language so they wouldn't understand each other. But here in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers and they found that they were able to communicate in different languages. I always thought this would have been great for my French oral at O-level, but unfortunately it didn't kind of work like that. They had a problem with communication because people had come from different nations. And when you read that long list of nations, and by the way, Kathy, you did a great job at all the big long words. Everybody else was sitting there going, well, I'm thankful that I'm not doing the reading tonight. Then you realize of the language barrier that would have existed. People have come from all different parts of the world, different tribes, different cultures, different countries. But God wanted each of them to hear the message in their own language. And he performed a miracle. He gave the apostles the gift so that they could communicate his message in the language that they could understand. Just imagine how amazed the people were to hear the apostles speaking in their own language. How incredible that would have been. And the purpose of the church continues to be to communicate the message of God, that God is love. Now, whilst we don't have a language barrier here in terms of speaking English, I do suspect that we have somewhat of a language barrier when it comes to communicating our faith to others, because we use a certain language that I call Christianese. We use terminology and words that we understand because we've been brought up in the life of the church, but for someone outside the church, and someone outside the Christian faith, it's strange, and maybe other words have different connotations. For example, we know what we mean when we talk about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. But you talk to someone who hasn't come up through church and doesn't know the Bible, that really sounds quite gross. So we've got to be careful, and it's just a prompt and a reminder to me for us to be careful about how we communicate effectively to people, particularly who are outside and particularly who don't have any faith. The gospel message is a wonderful message that we have been entrusted to proclaim faithfully and well. So it's just a reminder for that. The third thing I want to say about Pentecost then is that the church was created for fellowship. You just imagine these early Christians, these first Christians, when they hear the good news of Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, there are 3,000 new converts. And they suddenly share something that has never been shared before. Can you imagine? On that occasion, 3,000 people come to faith in Jesus. Suddenly, they are now part of a new society. They've come out of a world of slavery and superstition. They've come out of a world of selfishness and greed and dishonesty. And they're now part of a new group, a new fellowship. No wonder their number grew quickly to 5,000 and then into the multitudes as the church spread throughout Jerusalem. More and more people were attracted to them. It was different from anything else in the world. And the church must always be that. Must always be a holy and loving movement. Most institutions are only interested in what they can get out of you. But the church has always got to be different. Many take advantages of us as people. But the church is where you can come, and I trust, hear the word of God, be ministered to, be cared for, and all of that as we love each other in Christ. We are a different people, a different culture, an oasis in the midst of a desert, a shady tree on a summer day, a cup of cool water when you're thirsty, a place to come and to know that you won't be rejected, a place in the family of God. It's interesting. People do studies now about how we offered people places in the life of the church. And it was many, many years ago that we in the church, and this is a generalization of course, expected people to believe in Jesus first, and then they would change their behavior, and then after they got all that in place, then they could belong in our church family. My people will tell us with church growth that actually the reverse is now true. People will first gain a sense of belonging. And then once they have a sense of belonging, then they'll believe. And then after they believe, then they behave. The transformation takes place. So in other words, there's something really significant about allowing the church to genuinely open its doors and allow people to belong and to be part of our fellowship. That is how the gospel will spread, and particularly in an age where there is so much individualism, people are crying out for community. They're crying out for belonging. And the church was created for fellowship. Because God isn't exclusive who should be in it. Jesus met with tax collectors and sinners, and I love it. Because it was the Pharisees who were scundered by him. And the Pharisees in our churches will continue to be scundered when the doors are open. Scundered is actually a biblical word, isn't it? It must be. It should be in there somewhere, in some translation. But when we open the doors and we allow people to belong, to be part of our fellowship, yet it'll annoy some people. And some people get on their high horse. Well, they don't believe properly. They don't behave properly. Jesus said, invite. People make excuses not to come to the wedding feast of the Lamb. You go out and invite the people who are on the fringe of society. The church doors must be open. The day of Pentecost is the church's birthday, and we should celebrate that fact. We should always remember that the church was created by God and established through Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that the church must continue the mission and ministry of Christ in the world today to communicate to everyone the message that God loves the whole world. And we need to remember that the church was created for the purpose of fellowship. So we have a place among like-minded people where we give and receive support and encouragement on our faith journey. So let's thank the God, my God, for the church. Let's pray together. Lord God, we know that the church isn't perfect because it's made up of sinful and selfish people like us. But Lord, you created the church. You created us to be together in fellowship, to support and encourage and to worship you together. Because you don't want us to be solitary Christians. Lord, we thank you that we've got a wonderful gospel to proclaim. And we pray that you would help us to effectively communicate that gospel message in the world around us. Wherever that may be for each of us in our streets, in our places of work, amongst family and friends, whoever and wherever. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work in people's hearts and lives, even though they are unaware of it and don't realize it. For Lord, you are the one who is building your church for your praise and your glory.